Our dear friend and colleague Paul Elijah passed away 2 years ago at the age of 92. Well, now his friends have joined together to publish a collection of his unpublished poems. Paul's passions and endeavors included, well, pretty much everything. Veteran and military historian, poet, musician, radio host, longtime state government public relations person, civic volunteer, civil rights activist. But here on WAMC, much of our audience knew Paul for his incisive commentaries, his beautiful music programming, and as the host of the poetry program, A Bard's Eye View, and the Poetry Forum. Paul's friends Stu Bartow and Barbara Unger worked with the family to collect unpublished poems together for the new collection. The new collection is entitled Neaptide, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Stu Bartow and Barbara Unger to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you both here. So, Stu, now, obviously, you have been on, frequent listeners know that you were on many, many times before these microphones with Paul, and the two of you were friends, and you worked together on in groups, poetry groups. And so at what point did you take on this project of this, even discussing the idea of putting, and from my understanding, much of his later work, right, into book form?
Well, what happened after Paul had died in July of 2015, it was what we knew, his widow Jean and I knew, and other Barbara, people in our poetry group that would occasionally meet. We knew he had a completed collection that he was planning on bringing to Troy Bookmakers. He didn't want to fiddle around anymore with independent presses because he knew his age, and he knew he didn't have time to really be waiting on that, which, you know, can take 6 months to a year for something accepted by a publisher.
Sure.
And then another year before it gets published. That's how it all works, you know. So he was going to go to Troy Bookmakers with the collection. So after Paul had passed, it seemed to happen simultaneously with Jean, his wife, and I. Well, we need to finish this for Paul. He was going to take care of this and have this published probably this year, this book. We knew the title, Neaptide. And so Jean handed it over to me. Paul had a paper manuscript, but he didn't have an electronic manuscript. And, you know, a publisher won't accept a paper manuscript anymore. So I had to put together an electronic copy. He did have individual poems in an electronic copy on computer. And so I used the paper manuscript to kind of arrange the order of the poems that were all scattered all over in cyberspace land. It sound like I'm complaining a bit, I am. It was a pain in the, you know.
What rhymes with ass? Do we know?
We don't really know. No. We don't. We have no idea. None of us would know
Let
that.
Let it pass.
Yes, yeah. So, and what happened was, I should get into this a little. What happened was, this went on till I got it. There were other complications. A couple of the poems that I thought should have been in there were not. And one of them I would like to read. It's short. Sometimes, and Barbara will verify this, sometimes, you know, an artist, a poet, a writer doesn't know, particularly poets, you need someone. You're in the forest, you can't see the trees. You need someone else to say, hey, that work needs to be in there. Paul did not recognize a couple of the poems that really needed to be in there. So this was balanced with the problem of being true to the original collection, because we didn't want to change it. It's Paul's book. So there was that complication. And then what happened is, I think I'm making a short story long. Then what happened is I burned out pretty much. And Barbara rescued me. To help me, you know, finish the editing of, you know, of the whole book, and to proofing it, and so forth. And without her, I don't know if I, you know, her contribution, I don't know if I would still be floundering around.
Your white horse is outside, being taken care of beautifully by our, our wonderful staff.
I did very little. I just happened to be a quadruple Virgo, so I really was kind of proofreading and fixing hyphens and regularizing things. I think part of the problem was everything had to be retyped pretty much.
Yeah.
And I think at one point I volunteered, because I used to be a secretary, that I would type the manuscript, but Stu had already taken it.
She types 100 words a minute or something
crazy.
Some crazy. But the other thing is important to know here is that I think it speaks to how well you knew Paul. I mean, so it makes it a little bit easier in the sense of even in making the decision that something should be added, because you know him. And I assume as you're doing this, you hear his voice because you've heard him recite these poems many times.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and,
yes.
Yeah. And we did talk, I think, even before Gene came to Stu. We knew that this was going to happen. And Stu and I had talked about, should we edit the poems? And we decided not to. We decided we would leave them exactly as Paul wanted them, with the exception of adding what Stu thinks is his best poem that he had omitted from this collection.
All right. So, and that's the one you want to read for us?
Yeah. Okay. I'll read that right now. A little background. The poem, Paul wrote the poem in the early 90s when I had first joined this poetry group.
Yep.
With Sarah Wiest and you know, Sue Orangel and
Joe Krausman,
Barbara Kaiser, all, you know, local folks, poets, all good poets. And I was struck by the poem. And so it was in the bottom of a box of poems at the bottom of my attic. And it took me a long time to find the poem. The poem is about this young Irish priest who was part of Paul's regiment, who was the chaplain of Father Timothy McGreevy, who actually used to storm the beaches with all the guys. You know, okay, lads, let's go kill the heathens, you know, one of those guys, or let's go defeat the heathens. And I found this story is in a slightly different style, this poem, because it's more direct and more simple and more accessible than Paul's usual more elegant style. And I found this little narrative poem very touching. So it's about his regiment, the 165th Infantry Regiment, which was part of the 27th Army Division that fought in the South Pacific valiantly. So I'll read the poem. It's called Anecdota Pacifica. The soldier priest of the 165th Infantry Regiment celebrated Mass, sent his anxious congregants over the side, wreathing their misgivings in a flush of Celtic suasion. "When we've finished God's work among the heathen," he intoned, "I'll meet you on the shore. If not, we'll meet in heaven. And if perchance you didn't make it there, my friends, the devil take ye." Private Joe Rabinowitz hadn't heard a word of Hebrew since Bar Mitzvah. "Padre, pray for me," he murmured. "I have a feeling that today I'm going to need it." Next morning, for the first time in his life, Father Timothy McGreevy read the Kaddish.
Mm. Beautiful. And you say that went back to the 90s.
I believe he wrote it in the early 90s. He may have written it sooner, but I believe it was written in 92 or 93.
Mm. Were some of the poems that had been unpublished things that he had written since the last, because it was Swash was the collection, right?
Right.
And were there things that he had written after that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. More recent stuff. A lot of the more personal poems rather than the book is a mix of, you know, personal poems and the war poetry. And I think Barbara has a few words to say about this sort of thing, the ocean image and metaphor for Paul.
Well, Swash and the poems from Swash are also included in this book. So this book is a kind of collected poems. Mm-hmm. It's not just the unpublished poems. So I thought I might read Swash. I have another poem about the ocean and about his family that I could read.
Sure.
This one is called Landlocked, and Paul, like the Rabinowitz in the last poem, was himself Jewish, and this is a poem about an immigrant family who lived on the coast of New Jersey, but were all terrified of the ocean, and Paul alone was not. So this is called Landlocked. Except for a suitor who married into it, no one else in my grandparents' family knew how to swim. Whatever whim accomplished this also shaded their escape to freedom in the steerage of ships that plied Atlantic's angry expanse. Storm-tossed ashore, they stored their fear soul deep. Ensuing generations clutched it, scuttling across the land's edge, sucking up remnant scraps to feed their wish-rich diets, aching to probe the promise of prospects inland, but afraid to evolve, as this amphibian dreamed he could, in countless tries on other strands, all desolate, until familiar sand I'd long ignored offered untold treasure, measureless to their encrusted eyes. Now I stalk findings tossed shoreward by errant tides, bide my time to find rare moments worth the wait.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's a nice one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
It is. Let's hear another, the other poem you mentioned.
Well, I was going to read Swash,
yes,
which is the title
yes.
poem. It's a beauty. This was the title poem of his first collection, and even the title is gorgeous. Swash is a narrow body of water lying within a sandbank or between a sandbank and the shore. And Paul was very interested in music, obviously, and in music and poetry. So you can hear in that title, Swash, and also at the end, there are some nice rhymes with swash that are buried at the end of the poem. So he was very interested in these kind of very subtle musical effects that he could make with language. Swash. We scour the surface of the sundry coasts like rummaging crustaceans, skirt hinted glints of dreams. Near the deep of terror's dark, we dread the most, but not too close, a host of prospects tempt us. The sea's escapees trace hollows in the strand, efface ciphers we strain to read, assess what gifts, as yet unclaimed, adorn some microscopic fissure disregarded in our haste the shifting sands might seed. Unquashed, our taste for the unique, awash, just out of reach, the prize we seek.
Beautiful.
Isn't that nice? You hear it at the end, the way he's got unquashed and awash brings you back to the title, Swash, and then the final rhymes with unique and seek. So,
it's
a beautiful poem.
Beautiful.
When you look at this, and as you say, this is a collection, really, and there is new work. You obviously worked with him in the group. Stu, I got the sense in talking to him that he never maybe realized how good he was.
Well, you know, it's difficult to assess your own work no matter who you are.
Yeah. He seemed to have a pride in it.
Yes.
He did.
Yeah. A great pride in it.
Yeah.
But and maybe it was just he was humble and when you would compliment him he would swat you a little.
I think he knew.
I think he did too. I think there were times though with the poem I read where he didn't notice when he was really good and not trying to be. Elegant, shall we say, or profound, when he would abandon that, I think he was a better poet. And so sometimes this is one of the conflicts that Barbara and I had, because there was a temptation to, let's change some of these. We can make them better, but not necessarily. We'd be making them different, more like what we like. And so there was an issue where we thought, no, we have to be true to what Paul was attempting to do here.
In the book. And the music was so important to him. I mean, when you were reading the Father McGreevy poem, I actually teared up at the end. It's such an emotional poem.
It is.
And the others are more linguistic, and they're difficult to read, but it's almost like reading a musical score. You have to really pay attention to what's going on syntactically and in the language. So they're different kinds. I think he did know how good he was, but I think poetry
even
is so,
if he didn't, we did.
And poetry is so difficult in this country because it is so little appreciated and so few people read it and buy it. And that's a wonderful thing that he did by having this show and trying to bring poetry across to people and help people, you know, learn about it and share it and love it.
It is a beautiful collection, and so wonderful of both of you to work so hard on it with the family. It's entitled Neaptide. It's poems by Paul Elisha. It is out and available. It's published by Troy Bookmakers, so you can go to them.
And
find it. Neaptide, poems by Paul Elisha. Stu Bartow, Barbara Unger, a delight to see you both. Thank you so much, and thank you for reading the beautiful poetry.
You're welcome, Joe.
Thank you so
Good
much.
To see
Great
you.
Great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.